Psalm 146, hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow tonight confessing our great need for your help and strength and wisdom and power. We pray that you would come and visit us tonight in this, the ministry of the word, and help me, your servant, weak as I am, to proclaim faithfully the promises of your word. Come, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll notice that our theme for our evening message is very similar to the morning message this morning, because my desire is to equip you for the living of these days following something as serious as what we've been through, and being able to give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ. I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of soul searching these last 2 weeks leading up to Hurricane Irma, just because of what it's like to prepare for a possible calamity, and then in the days following. Preparing, first of all, for possible and probable disaster, and then going through the heart of the storm, and then having so many of our comforts stripped away, and the many temptations that come with that, right? Temptations to lose your temper, temptations to have a critical spirit, temptations to be impatient, temptations to complain and gripe. And then the rejoicing last night in our neighborhood, or 2 nights ago, when the electricity came on. You could hear people cheering down the block. And some of you are still waiting, right? I couldn't help but contrast that cheering with the way so many people come to worship before God. How many people who shout with excitement when the electricity comes on in their neighborhood, or when their team wins on the soccer field or the football field, how many of those people would give more than just a cursory word or two of praise before God, barely opening their lips? How many people are there who say that they're Christians and yet they're so reluctant to make even a peep or sound in worship? It's ironic to cheer so loudly when the electricity comes on or the team scores a goal, where the importance lasts only for a little while, but then to come to a worship service where the issues concern matters of eternity and you can hardly hear a note. The contrast really does accentuate the serious condition of the human heart, and even our own human hearts that have been born again, which is why the Lord has given us so many encouragements to praise him and commands to bring him glory and examples of people who praise him and even actual songs to sing in the pages of the scriptures. God has given us this book of Psalms, the hymn book for the church, with all kinds of songs and prayers. Songs and prayers for every occasion. Songs of joy. Songs of lament when you're grieving. Songs of desperation when you've sinned greatly. Songs to fortify your soul. Songs to claim God's promises and to stir up your soul to greater praise. Psalm 146 is a song of praise for the believer and instructs us about why we should sing. It opens and closes with praise to God. You see there in the beginning verses, it starts with a command. Verses 1 and 2. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. The original text in the Hebrew is actually hallelujah here. Hallelujah. It's a summons. It's a command, a call to lift your voice to God from your hearts. Did you know that singing to God is not an option? Singing praise to God is not something we can just neglect as if it doesn't matter. You can't say as an excuse, well, some people are called to preach and some people are called to teach and some people are called to be missionaries and some are called to be the musicians. Some are called to sing, but not me. I'm just going to stand here and move my lips a little bit. No, it's a command for all of God's people. As I mentioned this morning, over 200 times, the Bible commands and invites and calls and encourages us and reminds us to sing. To sing. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. It is good to sing praise to God. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. Sing for joy to God our strength. Sing of the Lord's great love forever. Sing to him a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing all you who are upright in heart. I will sing to you with a lyre. May your saints sing for joy. Shout aloud and sing for joy. See, singing is not optional for the Christian. It's commanded and has a purpose. It uses our lungs and our voices and our lips and our eyes and our hearts and our heads to focus all on once on the greatness of God and his grace to us. It's a testimony to the world because people hear it. Even here, as people walk by these windows, they hear us singing. It's an exercise we do privately and corporately as we assemble for worship. And through our worship, through our singing, we're reminded that God is actually high and lifted up. Our souls need that. We need to be reminded of the greatness of God. The psalmist, many think, is David, also reminds us of the reason why so many people will not sing or cannot sing. See that in verses 3 and 4. For many, they don't have a reason to sing. Maybe you know people like that. For many, they don't have any joy because they've put their trust in the wrong place. Verses 3 and 4, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. I ask you tonight, how many people do you know that go from disappointment to delusion and bitterness because they put all their eggs in the wrong basket? Right? And it's brought great sorrow to them. They've turned their back on God and his word. They've placed their hope in someone, maybe even someone great, only to be let down. It's ironic here that if David is the one who wrote this, that he would say, do not put your hope in princes like me. Don't do it. Not in me or anyone like me. Don't place your hope and confidence in princes or leaders or politicians. Don't do it. Ultimately, they're mortal. They're frail sinners. And they will end up in the grave. Men and women forget, right? We break our promises from time to time. People you trust fall into sin. You can't be sure of their faithfulness. One day they die and they'll be buried and your hopes will be buried with them. You know, I think back as over my life as a pastor and before that as a youth pastor, some of the really bitter, angry, resentful people that I've come to know, even some who are professing Christians. And every single one of them has had bitterness because of something someone did. Or someone who failed them. They had put their trust in someone who failed them or turned on them or lied to them or betrayed them or cheated on them, and the sting of it all robbed them of their happiness and their joy. So even in worship services, there is no joy. There's no heart to sing to God. The Lord reminds us here, do not put your trust in men, even the best of them, even the most powerful of them, because they cannot save you. They're mortal. When they die, and anything they've promised is gone. But there is a reason you can sing. even when people have disappointed you, even when you've lost everything because of a national or natural calamity. There is a reason you can sing. And the psalmist here gives at least 10 of them. 10 reasons you should sing praise to God. We'll go through them quickly. I've listed them in your bulletin just by verse number. The reason you can sing, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Blessed is this one. He says, here, as the world would say, here's the lucky one. This is the one who's got it all. This is the sign of God's rich blessing. Here's the blessed one. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God. See, the blessed one, the fortunate one, the lucky one, is not the one who dies with the most toys. It's not the one who comes out on top and is honored by the world. It's not the one with connections to powerful people. People say, oh man, you know them. Wow, you really know. No, here's the blessed one. It's the one who's come to know God as a Savior, whose help is the God of Jacob. Now, that's really something here. The God of Jacob. Jacob was a schemer and a liar and a sneaky cheat who found the grace of God. You see, the God of Jacob, here's is the God of grace, who's forgiven one like Jacob. The man or woman who's come to know the same God as Jacob is the blessed one, whose hope is in the Lord, who forgives cheats and liars and schemers like Jacob, who keeps his promise to Abraham and his descendants like Isaac and even Jacob. And now through the rest of the psalm, he lays out 10 motives to trust in God, 10 truths, 10 reminders of the character of God. Walk with me through this and you'll see the reason you can sing. For he says, blessed is he whose help is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. Here's why you can sing praise to God, because he's the creator. He made everything. There's no comparison to God's might. In fact, when God wanted to encourage Abraham, when Abraham was struggling to believe God's promise, Deb mentioned this just a little while ago, what did the Lord say? What did the Lord say to Abraham? Abraham, let's go outside. Look up at the stars and count them if you can and believe I am. Can you count stars, Abraham? I know each one of those by name. I know when you're feeling overwhelmed by trouble and sorrow and stress and anxiety, go take a walk with God outside in his creation. Go out to the beach, watch a sunset. Watch a Category 3 or 4 hurricane as the eye goes by. You'll see the power of God. Nehemiah, who plays the flute here, and his family were holed up in their apartment. Their windows were bowing in on the inside, and they pushed a couch and love seat up against it. And I said, what did you think? And he said, it was awesome. It was wonderful. It was amazing. And I said, weren't you scared? Completely. Go outside in the midst of God's creation. Lift up your head just like the Lord did with Abraham and see the power of the Creator. This is why we praise God. He goes on with a second reason. Our God who keeps faith forever, verse 6. The Lord who remains faithful forever. The Lord is not an impersonal force, not a brute power. He's a person who's made us in his image, who made us like him. And because we're like him, we can communicate with him, and he communicates with us through his word. He's told us great and marvelous things, wonderful promises that will never fail, things he will never renounce. He is not fickle like humans, saying one thing one day and changing the whole strategy the next. The Lord's not like us. We often have difficulty remembering our promises. I don't know about you, but I've said a lot of things this week and then thought, did I say that? Did I put my keys here? Where did I put my batteries? Where did I put my flashlight? Even with the best of intentions, we forget things. But search the word of God. Is there any promise that God has ever failed to keep? Not one of God's promises has ever failed. He never disappoints. He never regrets a hasty word. God never shades the truth. His promises never fail. Kings and presidents and politicians all prove their weaknesses in that they lie. And they're not able to keep their promises, but not with God. He remains faithful forever. There's a third motive there to trust the Lord and sing to Him, because He's absolutely fair and just. He executes justice for the oppressed, or He upholds the cause of the oppressed. What does that mean? Well, that means He will punish the oppressor. Things may seem unfair and unjust and one-sided for a time. How many people have lived through history under great oppression, like our brothers and sisters in the Lord in North Korea, for whom we prayed tonight? It may appear like God and everyone else has forgotten you, but hold on to this promise. He executes justice for the oppressed. He will one day execute justice, and they will see that He is the Lord. Even though you may suffer for a time and appears the wicked get away with it, God knows. You'll hear stories this week and in the weeks to come of people getting ripped off during the hurricane cleanup. And you know what? Some people will get away with it. They will. What if something as horrible as that should happen to your family? When someone is getting away with great evil, where do you go? When they get off scot-free, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. He executes justice. You can keep singing because God will one day make it right. It may not be on this earth, but He will execute justice. A fourth encouragement for you to praise God is that He will supply for all your needs. The latter half of verse 7 there says he gives food to the hungry. Not only is He powerful and faithful and able to provide, He will provide. And this is not just limited to physical nourishment. He will withhold no good thing from us. He loves you, and He'll provide spiritual nourishment for you as well, for your hungry soul. Should heartache or pain or sorrow or suffering or sickness come, He'll supply all your needs. And to that end, how important it is to be part of a church family, right? Because this is where God does that. In the body of Christ, where God supplies our need, it's often through the family of believers. Here's the fifth encouragement to sing to the Lord. The Lord sets the prisoner free. That is, nothing can imprison the heart and spirit who's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And a believer may be in prison or in jail, but even if he's in jail for the faith he proclaims or for the punishment of his own sins, the Lord is able to loosen his bonds, because even behind lock and key, the prisoner can be freer on the inside than the unbeliever on the outside. It's so important for jail and prison ministry. I've learned so much working through the chaplain's office at the jail here. We just got a letter the other day from an inmate who had been in the jail here, who's now in prison, who's far from his family. And he said, how amazing that God in His grace would use my fall to bring my wife to faith in Christ. There's a man who's redeemed, who did not know the Lord, who used to be one who mocked Christ, and now is seeing his family come to believe. Not long ago, just a week and a half ago, I was visiting with an inmate by his cell who said, I can't believe how much the Lord is teaching me here, much more than I've ever learned in my whole life. I was an educated, college-educated man. I tell you, the joy and happiness in Christ found on the faces of many of those men shows me the meaning of true freedom. The sixth encouragement to praise God is found there in verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes or gives sight to the blind. Now, you may feel at times confused and be lost and in darkness, but God can provide a way out. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can give wisdom if you ask, and direction. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, show me the way to go. He delights in answering that prayer. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, and He will give it abundantly. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see wonderful things in Your word. The Lord gives wisdom and sight to those who need to see. And so we should pray for those who are living as though they're blind, because the Lord is able to open their eyes and make them see. Then here's the seventh pillar, the seventh reason. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. That's verse 8 in the second half. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. In other words, no matter how heavy the load is that you're bearing upon your shoulders, no matter how great your discouragement or your anxiety or your trouble or your struggle with sin or tribulation or suffering or temptation, the Lord can raise you up. He lifts up the humble. That's his delight, to show mercy, to display his strength in your weakness. I ask you tonight, are you weary? I am. Do you feel heavy laden? Cast your burden on the Lord. Trust in him. He will renew your strength. He will renew your strength like the eagles. There's an eighth thing here. So many encouragements about why you can sing. Verse 8, the second half or third half says, the Lord loves the righteous. Now you may be thinking, well, that counts me out because I don't feel very righteous. My heart is deceitful. I know my sins. They're ever present before me. Well, you need to remember that if you've come to know Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if you believed in his finished work on the cross, you've cast your sins on the Savior, then he has clothed you. The Lord has clothed you with the righteousness of Christ. The Lord loves the humble sinner who's cried out for mercy and is clothed with the righteousness of his Son. He loves you. When it seems like no one else does, don't give up. God loves the righteous, the one covered in the righteousness of Christ. And then the ninth one is found in verse 9. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the wicked. He brings the way of the wicked to ruin. We trust the Lord. We can praise the Lord all the days of our life because the ways of the Lord are beautiful. And he deals with people differently than the way the world does. You know, the orphan and the widow are always presented in Scripture as objects of God's compassion. But what does the world show preference to? The famous, people fawn over the famous, right? The powerful, the successful, the star athlete, the movie star, the legendary politician. That's who the world fawns over. But how different is the Lord? He frustrates the way of the wicked. He sustains the fatherless and the widow and will work at cross purposes with the one who seeks to work against him. I was just communicating through a message system with a young man in Haiti who's fatherless and whose mother died, and he's got a severe infection. He doesn't know anybody to turn to, and I encouraged him about someone to go to, and I said we would be praying for him, and he just wrote back and said, that makes me cry because I have nobody to care for me. We don't understand the plight of those who have no father or mother. The Lord cares for them in a way that the world doesn't understand. Then lastly, sing praise to the Lord, not mortal man, because the Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. We sing praise to God because he alone is the sovereign king who reigns over all things. Even though political situations may become dicey, princes and kings and governors and presidents come and go, but our God lives and reigns forever. He rules over whatsoever comes to pass for our good and for his glory. He rules even over the storm, even over the hurricane, as powerful as that was. He rules over all things. I remember talking to my younger brother before he died. You've heard me mention him before, but I've never mentioned this story. He battled lung cancer for 2 years. I distinctly remember him relating to me about a man who'd come to him earlier in the week when I went over to visit him in Iowa. This man told him that he'd been praying for him, which Mark appreciated. And then this man told him that he wanted Mark to know that this cancer was not of the Lord. This was not God's doing. My brother nodded and smiled and thanked him for his prayers. But Mark said that that man's comment left him empty. This is not of the Lord. Not of the Lord. What does that mean? God didn't intend for this to happen? That the Lord is powerless to prevent this? That God was somehow overruled by Satan, who wanted to inflict this so God could only stand by and watch? If this is not part of the plan of God, then what hope is there? Right? Scripture says God rules over whatsoever comes to pass. Here's why we can sing: because the Lord reigns forever. He reigns forever over all things, even hurricanes, even the electric grid and the FPL trucks. Right? God rules over all things. He's working out all things according to the purpose of his will. And there's meaning and purpose in everything that happens. He rules and reigns not just on some days, not just on good days, not just on the days when the sun shines lightly, but on cloudy days and dark days and hot days and dismal days. He reigns forever. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he has a purpose in it. It was Jesus who said to his disciples, "Let's get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake," when they went into that storm. Jesus led his disciples into that storm. So too, whatever tomorrow may bring, whether it's sickness or health or plenty or want, joy or sorrow, the Lord reigns. And so you can say, along with Habakkuk, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in God my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. I will sing praise to God. Though the trees be scattered all over my yard, and though the winds may howl again, and though the electricity may not come on, I will sing praise to God." The question is, are you as enthusiastic in your singing before God as when the lights are on? Or will you be more so when the lights are off? When they come on, will you still sing praise to God if they go off again? Charles Spurgeon said, "Do we sing as much as the birds do? Yet what have birds to sing about compared to us? Do we sing as much as the angels do? Yet they were never redeemed by the blood of Christ. Birds of the air, shall you excel in me? Angels, shall you exceed me? You have done so, but I intend to emulate you, and day by day and night by night pour forth my soul in sacred song." We have great reason to praise God for the indescribable gift of his Son, who gave his life to purchase us and raise us from the dead. I call you tonight to believe in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow with thanksgiving for your grace to us in Christ and pray that you would stir us up to greater praise, no matter what may come. We ask for your blessing now on this evening offering and on us as we go about our way this week, that we would be an encouragement and blessing to others and point people to the God of all grace and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.